This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. We're just working on getting hold of Karen Bryant at Midsummer. Tass is just writing the number down. Because we want to talk about the upcoming program, because I think it gets actually released, is it next week, Fiona? I think, is it next week? Yeah, this week. Okay, it was... Oh, it's already out. Okay.
Oh, Macca, get with the program.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
why would Karen be coming on their show to talk about the program when it's not out?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually.
Well, it is out. And I've been actually out here searching for it, but I can't find a hard copy.
Ah.
Perhaps they've gone modern and they've gone entirely digital.
Entirely digital.
Which is the way to go, let's be honest about it.
Well, it is. Well, we've got Karen on the phone now. So, good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well.
So
not only do you well, you sound very upbeat.
You sound up, yeah. You sound you're with
well,
it.
Well, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful day. We've got our program up and on sale, so everything sort of feels pretty good this morning.
So this year, is it only a digital program, or is it a hard copy and digital?
No, it's hard copy as well. We know how much people love the program, and I think a lot of people like to sit down with that program and put their little flag notes through it on all the things they want to see. So I think we're still quite a way off moving from having that hard copy for people.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I actually think it's one of those must-have things on your coffee table. There wouldn't be a single household in my network that doesn't have one. And what's really nice is people sit and say, oh, what are you going to? So it's great to actually pull it out and do a bit of a compare and contrast. And
it's always good to do
that. Yeah, absolutely. So, we still find that, when we've asked people how they buy, they tend to buy from the website. They'll go to the website and look and make their final decisions there. But they like to have that hard copy in their hands beforehand.
Yeah, and I think that will change over time because the app is actually very good. I've always liked
you. We hope
app.
So.
Yeah. So tell us what's there.
We've got a brand new website.
Ah,
we've got
okay.
A new website this year, and we've done that so that we actually could put more content on the website, so that producers, if they've got video content, things like that, can add a little bit more information, so people can get access to a little bit more information if they're not quite sure from the hard copy and think, I want to know a little bit more about that before I buy it.
Yeah, that's cool. That sounds really cool. So tell us what is hot in this year's program.
Oh. There's 194 events, so it's one of those things where every time I talk about the program, I probably talk about something different. What we try and do, we've got all the old favourites, but we also try and do a few things that are fresh and new each year.
Yes.
So this year we've got a signature program. I don't know if you remember last year we had Body, which was really... Yeah, yeah. So this year we've got a new version of that, which is called Queer Unsettled. And it's actually quite a range of different events that are all under a common theme. I mean, they're spread throughout the festival, although a lot of it is towards the last week. And that's really looking at the stories of our communities and diverse stories from our region of the world, because so much of what we see reflected at us is images from Europe and the US. We really wanted to have a look at, Australian queer voices from First Nations, but also from Asia, from Pacific, New Zealand, and really get that flavour of, what is it to be queer in Australia from the local region.
So it's actually putting us in context of the region that we live in rather than just thinking of ourselves as being completely, isolated.
Yeah, absolutely. And having a look at, I mean, a lot of what we've been trying to do over the last few years is really look at, you know, what is queer culture and the development of queer culture in Australia. And so I think it was time that we really had a look at what that meant locally.
Oh, what was that?
The little dog. I'm out and about in the beautiful weather.
So, which brings us to the next question, Karen. Is there a Dulcie's dog show again?
Oh, of course. I think I'd be hung and quartered if I ever got rid of the dog show. I still stand at the side of that stage and look out at Carnival and amazed, because you can never see the end of the crowd when it comes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. It is really good. So you've got a very large and a very diverse program. Ordinarily, you have a couple of iconic pieces that, you know, commence, bookend, and are dotted throughout the program. Can you give us a sense of what some of those might be?
Yeah, well, of course, we start with Carnival.
Of course. Carnival is like a permanent fixture on our calendar, isn't it?
It is, and it just keeps getting bigger. I keep wondering how many people we can fit in Alexandra Gardens. There were 118,000 people, or estimated actually larger than that last year. And we just keep developing new precincts and expanding those precincts so that there's more for people to do and see, keep it fresh. So, of course, that's an icon. It's the 25th birthday of Pride March. So, you know, I can't not mention that, that iconic event, but also the ability for us to celebrate its history and what a Pride March means to people now and what pride means to people now. Extravaganza's back. We've had that for a couple of years now and it's been so successful and sells like, you know, hotcakes. And that's at Hamer Hall. That just gives you an example of exactly how big and exciting that is to have it, you know, to have it in that big venue on the 1st of February. We've also got, one of the new things we've got this year is two nights called Power, which are really celebrating women and non-binary artists in music. So that's brand new for us this
year.
Yeah, and that's at Chapel Off Chapel. We've partnered with the City of Stonington for that. And we're just really excited to be doing something new in a new area for us. And we try and do that each and every year.
City of Stonington have been great sort of buddies, haven't they, of late, to our community?
They've certainly been very supportive. And we're really lucky because we've got such a great number of councils who, you know, all engage with us. And it is about having that footprint that, you know, allows people from as broad an area of Victoria and Melbourne as possible to engage with the festival. Mm. You know, we've got great relationships, obviously, with the City of Melbourne. City of Port Phillip for such a long time has been, you know, the absolute wonderful partner for Pride March, City of Yarra. So, you know, we're really lucky across a whole range of council areas.
Karen, are you going to do something about the weather for Pride March this year?
Well, I keep saying to everybody there is no way we could have 3 days that hot. historically, it hasn't had that many hot days.
No.
We are lucky that the last two. But the one good thing about last year was whilst the temperature was forecast as hot, by moving it to the morning, and we literally were wandering around with temperature gauges on the day, every marcher had finished the march before it hit 34. So I think we've got it right by going early.
Yeah.
But of course we hope for better weather, because what we really want is for people to stay by the water, by the beach afterwards in a beautiful Sunday afternoon and celebrate with us, you know, well into the afternoon and into early.
And look, you know, there was a lot of discussion about, you know, when it moved to the morning and, you know, people said that probably wasn't enough warning. Well, there is enough warning for them this year. So hopefully that works. And at the end of the day, if it's not as hot, well, that's good. If it is a very hot day, well, you'll get the march over before, you know, it gets into the really, really hot day. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and we have to be mindful of keeping people safe, and that means, you know, not having people walking in the middle of the day, because it doesn't even have to be that hot a day for mid-afternoon to feel, you know, a little bit uncomfortable for, particularly for maybe our seniors and those with small children. So we really wanted to do everything we could to make it an occasion that people can really enjoy weather-wise.
And we just need to encourage people to be sensible and, you know, wear a hat, bring some water and wear some sunscreen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a hard message to sell. I mean, we're all very used to that now. Karen,
I think also...
Go on.
I was going to say the other thing is, I mean, I'm doing it this morning, that thing about getting out early on a weekend and having breakfast, you know, so even with the march, you know, it's wonderful. We had a lot of people last year who actually went down there well before the march and just enjoyed a beautiful Sunday morning breakfast before they marched. So I think the culture at that time of year also supports actually getting out and about early.
I've always enjoyed the sort of marshalling grounds. You know, it's quite nice to sort of turn up and hang around and see your friends in costume or getting ready to sort of march with a group, and yeah, all that sort of stuff is good fun on annual Pride Day, don't you think, Macca?
Yeah, and I'm looking forward, Karen, obviously to the year after, because Pride March will go past the Pride Centre.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, that, you know, that's something that's really exciting.
It is.
And I think it's part of that whole regeneration of that area, which has been so iconic for Pride March for such a long time.
Mm.
And it's lovely to see it contextualised in such a beautiful way.
Now, Karen, give us some dates. When does Carnival happen?
Carnival's on our first day. That's the 19th of January.
January.
Yep, so you get Christmas, get New Year out the way, blow off all the cobwebs, and then we're straight into midsummer. We run for 22 days through to the 9th of February.
Okay, and some of the other iconic dates, what about Pride March? When's that?
That's on the 2nd of February. And so we always try and make that sort of sit nicely in the middle of the program, which is really nice. Queer Unsettled is dotted throughout, so people can experience that. There's a beautiful event at the Immigration Museum on the 31st of January. We've got a new Lunar New Year disco at the museum on the 7th of February. There's some lovely work from Queer Unsettled down at the Abbotsford Convent. So people really can sort of engage with that program throughout the whole of the festival. Extravaganza, of course, which is one of the things everyone seems to rush to buy a ticket for, is on the 1st of February. So we've really tried to make it, though, that there is something for everybody throughout the whole festival. Because what I try to say to people is a festival isn't really just about a whole lot of individual events. It should be that journey where you kind of go, okay, I've got 3 weeks, I'm going to see a lot of things, and I'm going to come away with a really unique experience of having seen so many different stories and things across that time.
And, well, with 194 events over 3 weeks, it's going to, you know... there's so much for people, you know, to choose from, isn't there? So many events, so many venues, so many subjects, such diversity. It's truly awesome. It's fantastic.
And that's actually the thing we've really tried to build year on year for the last 2 years, is that diversity, because our communities are so diverse, and we wanted to make sure that, I mean, like, we did some research a few years ago, and you had a lot of families with small children saying, oh, there's not really a lot for us, and our little kids get bored at Carnival, which makes it really hard for us to enjoy it, and seniors sort of saying, well, you know, there's not a lot for us. So we've really tried across the program to make sure. In fact, actually, that's a real point. For the first time ever, we actually have a rainbow family hub at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent. And there's 16 different events for kids, their families. There's beautiful intergenerational events for kids and grandparents. So it really is around that whole idea of being able to celebrate, no matter what your age is, no matter what your culture is, where you come from. You're going to find something that you can enjoy, and you can, that really resonates with who you are.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And what about the famous tea party? You're doing that again this year?
Tea dance.
The tea dance.
Yeah, of course. Again, that's iconic. Tea dance very much is what we do. Is it's on the Carnival Day. It's in the evening. Is it kind of blends seamlessly from the day into
the
night.
Yes, it does.
But what we do see is that, you know, you see this change of audiences, I guess, throughout the day, and attendees throughout the day. So during the early, you might have a lot of those families with small children, and then you've got sort of young adults and teens in the middle of the day who stay on into the evening, and then as the sun goes down, of course, we move into DJs and party mode with the main stage with tea dance.
Fantastic.
Karen, we've run out of time, but we are very excited about the program. I can't wait to get my hands on a hard copy from a coffee table, and I will certainly search through the online version as well. So 19th of January is when the carnival begins, when the festival begins with the carnival, and it goes right through till mid February.
Exactly. Karen, I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much. We're going to get Brenton Garen a little bit later on to give us a sort of, let's say, a more sort of nuanced cultural perspective on the program. So I'm always looking forward to his insights as well. Hopefully he'll give us a recommendation or two on top of what you have.
Excellent. I think Brenton was at our launch, so he'll be able to give you lots of insights.
I'm sure he will. Thank you very much, Karen. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.